Hey guys, welcome back to the show. This is part two of Neck Pain and Headaches with me. I'm your host, Dr. Nick Wilson, and Dr. Tracy Gross. We get into the second part of this conversation about real causes and real solutions.
Yeah, we're talking specifically about three different factors that could be contributing to headaches.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy this follow-up episode to Neck Pain and Headaches, where we really dig into the root causes. We are talking about neck pain. We are talking about headaches, the real causes of it, and then hopefully giving you some real solutions for it. So if you know somebody who has neck pain or has headaches, make sure that this is something you share with them, because this is life-saving.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, come on. Somebody who's dealing with chronic headaches, if there's a solution where they don't have to deal with their chronic headaches anymore, I mean, that person, that's life-saving for that person.
Yeah, 100%. And headaches, neck pain, they're extremely common. But what we need to know is that they are definitely not normal. Mm-hmm. There is a better way to live life. And it really just starts with getting to the root cause of the problem.
That's right.
There are several things that could be contributing to headaches. So it's important to explore those things and discuss them, because a lot of times headaches and neck pain, it's multifactorial, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we're going to get into that today. First one, because it is the summertime, it's warm out. A lot of people may be experiencing headaches as a result of dehydration.
Yeah. So what most people don't realize is that you're outside, you're sweating, or maybe even you're in the sun. You need more water. I don't know how to make it more basic than this, but you need more water. And some people say, well, what kind of water? And that matters too. And we're going to get into that too. But listen, the idea that dehydration is an underlying factor with headaches is something that people miss. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all the different ways that you become dehydrated. Yes, because of the sun. Yes, because of sweating, but also the lack of intake. And so how much should you be drinking? That's something that we're also going to talk about. But another one is, most people don't get this one. If you're drinking a dehydrant, like let's say coffee, mm-hmm. or even tea, anything with caffeine, that is a dehydrant. And so for every cup of coffee, you actually need 4 cups of water for just the acidity alone.
Oh, I didn't know it was 4.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
So just to balance out the acidic nature within coffee. And so the issue with a lot of people is that they're chronically dehydrated. They don't know it, because that's just mm-hmm. their baseline.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because they don't drink enough, but they also are consuming other things that are causing them to be dehydrated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So coffee does not count as water intake.
Nope. Sorry to tell you that one. So let's talk about how much should you be drinking. This is important. Mm-hmm. Listen, we all need to be drinking water, right? And you said coffee does not count as a water intake. Well, neither does soda. Mm-hmm. Right. Neither does that green tea, even if it's a green tea, because it's a dehydrant. Now, an herbal tea without any caffeine, you can count that. But soda will not count because of the acidic nature, and mm-hmm. because a lot of soda has caffeine in it. Mm-hmm. So how much water should you be drinking? You've heard many different stories on this, whether you should drink half your body weight in ounces, or you should drink, there's different theories on this and different equations. I think that can be too calculating, and it can actually cause you to chronically be thinking about counting ounces, right? Mm-hmm. And everybody's body's different in how they absorb it, based off of sodium, based off of even potassium. Certain mineral imbalances within the body will cause you not to retain water as well. So one of the ways that you can measure it without counting is just to analyze your urine. And in your urine should actually be clear, not just a shade of yellow, but actually clear. And when you drink enough water, that first morning void, so the first morning void, meaning when you wake up in the morning and you urinate, that should actually be close to clear. And that's one of the ways to analyze this, to make sure, hey, I am actually getting enough water in to where I'm actually retaining some where I have to excrete the extra. Mm-hmm. So one of the ways is just to, I know it sounds gross, but analyze your urine. First morning void. Make sure you're looking at that and analyzing that. Now, what kind of water should you be drinking? And that's another common question that we get. Because you don't want to just drink it straight out of the tap for most people. Mm-hmm. Why should they not drink it straight out of the tap?
Well, we think about our water sources and how many chemicals and toxins are poured into it. I mean, there are even traces of prescription medications, birth control, mm-hmm. found in our tap water. Mm-hmm. So if you are drinking enough to make sure that your morning void is clear, that's a lot of water and a lot of toxins that you're inadvertently putting in your body.
Yeah, they're not able to filter out these prescription medications. There's antidepressants that get into the water system. And I've had some confusion on this from people in the past because people say they don't put antidepressants in the water. They don't put birth control in the water. You're right. They don't. Do you know how it's getting in there? Is because people will urinate out their drugs or they'll just flush them down the toilet and it'll recycle. And so your body doesn't use the full amount of the drug when you put the drug in. And especially if somebody's on birth control or antidepressants, so they're taking this daily, they're urinating out just like they, you know, you take too many vitamins as an example. Mm-hmm. You're going to urinate out the excess. Well, the same thing happens with drugs. And now you take, 1.2 billion people, or I'm sorry, 1.2 million people who are on some type of medication in our city, and now they're all urinating out their medications, and you wonder why that's ending up back into our systems. Mm-hmm. And so it's a real issue. And then if you test your water, which you can, you'll find there's heavy metals, there's arsenic, there's lead, there's many times there is... there can be heavier metals like cadmium. And so if you test your water, you're going to find glyphosate many times is in the water system. And this is what's coming out of the tap.
Yeah. And glyphosate being the pesticide that's sprayed on
the killer. On food. Yeah. Yep. So it's the, it's Roundup. Like Roundup. Yep. Mm-hmm. So you don't want this in your water system. Mm-hmm. And so you want your water to be way more filtered than that. And so reverse osmosis is going to filter out. So if you know that your water is very contaminated, reverse osmosis is going to filter that out. Now, the problem with reverse osmosis is it also filters out the minerals. And so you would have to remineralize your water. And so you can get trace minerals to remineralize your water. That's an easy way to make sure you are getting those minerals back in. But really, we shouldn't be getting all of our minerals from water anyway. We really should be getting our minerals from vegetables, from fruit, from our produce that we're mm-hmm. eating. And so that's kind of a double-edged sword, because if you're having mineral, having to put trace minerals back into your water, but then not eating vegetables and produce on a regular basis, on like a daily basis, well, you're not still going to get enough minerals from just adding in trace minerals. Mm-hmm. So get it from your veggies.
Yes, that's good. So you were talking about toxicity in the water. Let's link that back to headaches. How do toxins mm-hmm. contribute to headaches?
Oh, this is a big one. Do you know when we do metabolic testing and we test for toxicity status of what this person's been exposed to? And the amount of chemicals that we are exposed to on a regular basis. And some of these chemicals are neurotoxic. And what does that mean? It's toxic to the brain, toxic to the neurology, toxic to the nervous system. And some of these heavy metals will cross the blood-brain barrier, as an example. And there's a barrier, a sheath, this film across to, across the around the brainstem by the brain that's keeping certain chemicals from mm-hmm. reaching the brain, because if those chemicals reach the brain, it's ultimately deadly because of the neurodegenerative effect on the brain. But the bigger problem is over time, chronically, these metals like aluminum, like mercury, as an example, they get into the brain and they are disruptive. Energetically, they cause problems in the brain. Now, your brain doesn't have necessarily sensors. Like, it's not like, it doesn't feel. Does that make sense? It doesn't feel. But the disruption neurologically is where a lot of times this person is going to struggle. And this person not only struggles with maybe headaches, but brain fog, memory issues, cognition, and you know, recall in general can be problematic. And these heavy metals can be problematic for a lot of different reasons. Like, you see this with kids who struggle with attention problems, even autism. And so the earlier that you're exposed to metals, the worse off you are in general, because these are many times forever chemicals. They're not going to get filtered out of the brain or out of the body unless you actually are intentional with a specific detox to pull these out. And now you have to know what you're doing when it comes to metals and when it comes to toxins in general, because if someone, and I've seen this a lot in my line of work, because, you know, we teach other doctors around the country how to do this and how to do this accurately and effectively. And you see a lot of natural doctors and even medical doctors who are doing this incorrectly, and they're causing this person to retox. Instead of detox, they're retoxing. And what do I mean by that? Is when you try to pull out these metals or pull out these toxins, if you're not binding and clearing this, well, then you're just causing the system to then be overloaded, and you're going to recycle this in the body. And now you get toxins that are recycling, and it's just a mess. And so some people are sensitive to perfumes. Some people are sensitive to certain odors. This is a sign that this person's probably already toxic. And this is setting them over the top. The bucket's already full, if you will. So imagine a bucket, and you're putting in water into that bucket. Your body is designed to filter out toxins. It is. Your liver, gallbladder, kidneys, your lymphatic system. Your body is designed to filter these out, but it can only take so much of a beating. And so this bucket is your bucket of filtration within your body, and it can take a load. But if now you overload this, and it's already filled up to the brim, it doesn't take much for that chemical, that, you know, that plug-in in the wall, as an example, you know, that fragrance that the person smells, and all of a sudden, boom, and it sets that person over the top. And now this person is experiencing headaches. It sets them into this migraine headache spiral. But what's very interesting about that person is almost 100% of the time, it's not just from that bucket that's being overfilled. I know so many patients, I've seen so many patients over the years where they've known this about themselves, that they're very sensitive to smells, fragrances, toxins in general. They live the most clean life, okay? They don't, they get rid of toxins at all cost, everywhere. Their natural care products, their deodorants, their, you know, everything. And yet, they still get set over the edge with that fragrance or that one little thing. And what's very interesting is neurologically, this person's nervous system is usually in a heightened state. And many times what that's coming from is this top two bones in the neck. And I'm pointing them at them right now with you, and you know all about this. It's called the atlas and the axis. And this is the underlying cause of why most people get headaches. Is these top two bones in the neck, the atlas and the axis. The atlas was named after the Greek god who holds up the world, right? Because this is the bone that holds up your
holds
world.
Holds up your head, yeah. Yep.
And that's the Christopher Reeves bone. You remember him? When Christopher Reeves, you know, fell off his horse as the old Superman, he hit his chin, the top bone in the neck shifted forward. People think it caused him to sever his spinal cord. It did not. It just bruised it. It dented it. And from that day moving forward, everything below that, he was quadriplegic, pacemaker, respirator. It was estimated that he aged 30 years faster than what he should have because his nervous system was in that heightened state. And unfortunately, it shut everything down. So his body had to work that much harder. He lived, what, 7-9 years? I forget. I always get this 7 or 9 years, but he aged like 30 years. And you think about how important that area is because it protects the brainstem. And those nerves are the ones that go up in your head. So that person who has an atlas or axis, the second bone, C2, misalignment, that causes pressure on the nervous system, pressure right at the brainstem, and then everything is affected by this. And now this person's in a heightened state of awareness. This person, unfortunately, their nervous system is ramped up.
Mm-hmm. Fight or flight.
Fight or flight. Mm-hmm. You got it. Mm-hmm. And that is an underlying, and I would say missing link, when it comes to the treatment of your headaches, is the understanding of this whole mechanism right up here, the top bones, the atlas, the axis, even the occiput, so that, you know, the back of your head that meets the atlas there, all of that is linked together and is supporting your body and making sure that you don't get pressure there and you don't get nerves or blood vessels that get impinged or get pinched and that will cause these types of these problems like headaches.
Yeah. So then what's the answer? What do we do about it?
Well, on our end, this is the this is the fun part, because you can find out what's causing that very easily with some simple tests. And we do these in our clinic. There's neurological tests, it's called a surface EMG scan. That's one of the initial tests that we do. Now there's some physical tests that we also, look at and do, and we can test to see how those bones are moving. So we do range of motion testing. We do postural screening to see, because you can get a window into the spine by looking at posture. Mm-hmm. You know, you can get a good window into it and see what could possibly be going wrong. As an example, that person with one high shoulder, I want you, if you're listening, look at yourself in the mirror. Next time you look at yourself in the mirror, don't just look at your face, look at your shoulders, look at your eyeballs, and is your head tilted? Is one eye higher than the other eye? Look at your ears. Is one ear higher than the other ear? Well, you might have an atlas misalignment. If your head looks like it's on crooked, you might have an atlas misalignment. And those are all kind of, let's say, objective ways, or maybe just borderline subjective or objective, meaning that it's not a great test. The best way to take all the guesswork out of it is structural x-rays. And what I mean by that is x-rays that are done that are measured down to the millimeter. And in our clinic, we take 33 different angles to see exactly where the spine has shifted, where the individual bones are rotated, or they've moved out of their normal position. And we measure those down to the millimeter to see exactly how this is now affecting this person. How are we going to put a plan of attack to correct this, mm-hmm. which is the bigger point. And then what are we going to do about it? Because one thing to know that, yep, this is the cause of your problem. Mm-hmm. We can see it. But now what do you do about that? And again, that's where the fun, that's when it gets fun, because now we put a plan of attack together and we work with this person to correct their problem. And that person who's been dealing with headaches or been dealing with neck pain or other issues that are, that come from that, it's fun to see them get a hold of their health and their life.
Yeah. And, taking care of the spine, taking care of the misalignments or subluxations, that increases the ability of the nervous system to function. And when your nervous system is functioning, your body detoxes naturally better too. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it helps in that regard as well, not just structurally, but overall whole body function and health.
We talked about dehydration, and we talked about deficiencies and toxicities, and we talked about when the spine shifts out of its normal position and how that can contribute to headaches and neck pain. Mm-hmm. However, there's a specific type of trauma that will cause a ligament damage that I want to mention, because this is often overlooked in every community that I've been involved with, besides like the spinal correction community, is the understanding of the ALAR ligament. And I don't want to get too sciencey here, but there's this ligament in your neck that checks your atlas rotation. And there's a specific type of trauma that if you were hit in the head, or you fell and or had whiplash is a common one, where it either stretches or damages ligament, that will cause the atlas to misalign more easily. It's called your ALAR ligament. And it's important to know this if you're detecting or looking for headaches, or looking for the cause of headaches, because when this ligament is damaged, you have to be very specific about retraining the strength of the muscles around the ligament to support this. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I want to maybe give you an at-home test for testing the ALAR ligament damage. And it's very simple. All you do since this checks rotation of the atlas, it's very simple. If you close your eyes and have somebody watch you do this, close your eyes, wait 5 seconds, tilt your head back. And when you tilt your head back, if your head rotates to one side or the other, your nose doesn't go straight back over itself. Like if you go towards one shoulder or the other, you might have alar ligament damage. Okay. So when you tilt your head straight back, it should just go straight back. But if you go to one side or the other, you might actually have damage to that alar ligament. And I've seen this with football players a lot. I've seen it with wrestlers. We took care of USA wrestling in judo at the 2016 Olympics in Rio. And because of the physical nature of the sport, you know, a lot of slamming, a lot of times where, you know, I wrestled as well. There's a lot of positions that you get in that are just not good for you. And what that can cause is the ligaments to stretch or even ligaments to become damaged. And a lot of times people will wait until they get symptoms in order to check this. And ideally, you don't wait for the symptoms to show up.
Right, right. And then a lot of the people that I meet who have neck pain and potentially alar ligament damage, when there's pain there, the natural inclination, maybe what we're taught to do, is stretch.
Yep.
Right. But if those ligaments are already stretched out and that's causing the damage, then that's the opposite of what we need to do.
Exactly. And you see this from people coming from, and it just is what it is. It's not right or wrong, or it's just a lot of practitioners just don't know how to check for alar ligament damage. It's not even on their radar. But they come from a physical modality where they're stretching. They've been taught to stretch those muscles, and it just makes it worse over time. If you're stretching the very muscles that are supposed to be supporting and strengthened, it's you're asking for problems, you know, chronic problems, ones that aren't going to go away.
Yeah. So that's why you need very specific, intentional care, care that's going to do a lot of work on the front end to investigate and figure out what is the underlying cause here. We need to get to the root of the problem in order to actually put together a plan that will correct it.
That's right. And strengthening and reposition. So you can, the great thing, if you have alar ligament damage or you know someone who has it, there's real solutions and very specific adjustments. You have to know which angle to adjust. That's why we take those x-rays and measure them at such specific angles, so we know exactly how to adjust that spine, but then strengthen on the other side.
Yeah, this is your opportunity to realize your full potential and achieve your greatest health.